This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on World Bank Neutral Experts' decision on Indus Waters Treaty. The participants are T.C.A. Raghavan, former ambassador, and Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist.
A World Bank appointed neutral expert has recently backed New Delhi's position on the framework to resolve certain disputes relating to the Kishanganga and Ratle hydropower projects that comes under the India-Pakistan Indus Water Treaty. To discuss the complexities of the issue, we have with us Mr. Raghavan, an expert on Indus Water Treaty as well as related issues. So let's talk to Mr. Raghavan. Mr. Raghavan, a World Bank-appointed neutral expert has backed New Delhi's position on the framework to resolve certain disputes between India and Pakistan on the Kishanganga and Ratle hydroelectric projects. How do you see the views by the neutral expert on this issue?
Well, the neutral expert held that he is competent to go into and address the issues which have been raised by Pakistan and India in the design and implementation of these two projects. The Pakistani view was that the neutral expert is not competent to address these issues or to give a ruling on these issues, and such a ruling has to come from a court of arbitration. So the question really was of in what way should the dispute resolution mechanisms of the Indus Waters Treaty be invoked? And there is a difference of view between Pakistan and India on this issue. It's a somewhat technical point, but the essential core of it is that Pakistan felt that these issues regarding the design and implementation of the project have to be resolved by a court of arbitration. India felt that no, it has to be resolved by a neutral expert. And the neutral expert has now said that he is competent to resolve, to address these issues and to pronounce judgment on these issues. I would see it as a procedural way. It's a process. And the neutral expert's most latest pronouncement is part of that process. It does not really address the substantive difference of opinion which exists between India and Pakistan.
So if I may recollect, in 2015, Pakistan had demanded the resolution of the dispute under the neutral expert framework. But in 2016, surprisingly, it just withdrew from its earlier position and it approached the Court of Arbitration to resolve the dispute. And India has all along been maintaining that any dispute under the Indus Water Treaty of 1960 must be addressed under the graded mechanism that has been provided for in the treaty. So India has always been maintaining that there cannot be two concurrent or two simultaneous processes to resolve a single dispute. So how do you see Pakistan withdrawing from its 2015 position on neutral expert and only insisting on resolving the dispute under the Court of Arbitration mechanism?
Clearly, they had some rethink and they felt that the ruling of a neutral expert is likely to be against their interests. There is a background to this because in the past, a neutral expert had been appointed to pronounce on India-Pakistan differences with regard to the design of a dam, also on one of the Indus rivers, which was the Bhagliar hydroelectric project. And Pakistan had then felt that this ruling was not entirely in line with its interests or in line with its thinking. And therefore, possibly, as you said, that earlier history weighed on them, and which is why they changed from neutral expert to court of arbitration. As you have pointed out, the perspective in India is that the dispute resolution mechanism in the treaty has to be a sequential. First, the Indus commissioners, as provided for under the treaty, try to narrow down differences between both parties and resolve it at their level. If that is not possible, it goes to a neutral expert. If that doesn't work, then they go to a court of arbitration. In Pakistan's view, there is nothing to stop it from going to a court of arbitration directly. The problem got compounded when the World Bank, in fact, invoked both these mechanisms simultaneously. Since that time, the government of India has taken the view that this is not a correct process because these different dispute resolution mechanisms give opposing resolutions.
I wanted to ask you, actually, if the neutral expert gives a verdict, and the Court of Arbitration comes out with a ruling. So if both the rulings are contradictory, then what will be the mechanism to address the grievance?
In the end, the treaty provides a certain framework for how the two countries can cooperate on the sharing of river waters. So there is a certain assumption that both countries are prepared to cooperate with each other in this very, very important issue. I mean, it's important to understand that river water sharing is a very, very complex and contentious subject. In India itself, you have interstate differences, interstate disputes, which drag on for years. And in similarly, in Pakistan, one of the reasons why it faces such a major crisis in its water scenario is because they have not been able to resolve interprovincial differences and interprovincial issues with regard to river water sharing. So the Indus Waters Treaty gave a certain pragmatic approach and created a platform in which both the countries can cooperate as lower and higher and upper riparians on this important subject. So yes, it is possible that there are different interpretations from different authorities, but the point to remember is that the treaty, to be a sustainable legal regime, can't be frozen in the past. And a neutral expert is usually a technical person. So when he looks at the design of a project, he will certainly also look at the aspect of which is the project using the best available, most up-to-date technology. I think to a great extent, the Pakistani concern was that using the latest technology, they feel would go against the letter of the treaty, which is why they want to invoke the Permanent Court of Arbitration, which will be more restrictive and legalistic in its view. To my mind, for the treaty to remain meaningful, it has to keep abreast with latest technologies. And secondly, as I said, there has to be a willingness on both sides to cooperate within the spirit of the treaty.
So we know India and Pakistan signed the Indus Water Treaty on September 1960 after 9 years of negotiations with the sole aim of managing issues relating to cross-border rivers. So, I mean, it has been working well, except last few years. Last year, I remember in January 2024, India demanded a review of the Indus Water Treaty and it sent a notification to Pakistan to start the process of reviewing the clauses of the treaty. Again, we sent a similar notification to Pakistan around September last year. So how do you see India's overall approach in seeking some kind of changes in the treaty so that it works well?
I think the perspective in India is that Pakistan has been unduly obstructive where it comes to India putting up hydroelectric projects which are provided for within the treaty itself. And Pakistan insists on raising a whole series of objections because they have a fundamental objection to any hydroelectric projects on the western rivers. There's almost a sense of entitlement that on the western rivers, India should do nothing at all, which is fundamentally against the provisions of the treaty itself, because run-of-the-water projects which do not obstruct the water flow are very much permitted within the provisions of the treaty. So as I said, the perspective in India has grown and consolidated to some extent that every project faces undue obstructive technical objections from Pakistan. And those are principally against the spirit of the treaty itself, because the spirit of the treaty was that the two countries cooperate in exploiting the river water resources available. And the spirit of the treaty was not to stop one country from using the potential of the rivers. So I think because of the idea that we should seek a review of some of the provisions, that was why the request was made. And possibly also because of the way the dispute resolution mechanism has run into this problem where Pakistan is unwilling to address a particular difference of opinion through the neutral expert mechanism at all. So if it is unwilling to use the existing mechanisms, that itself calls for a certain review in the treaty itself.
Is there any instance of the neutral expert not heeding to Pakistan's demand in the past because of which actually Pakistan is not in favor of dispute resolution by the neutral expert and instead of it is favoring dispute resolution under the framework of Court of Arbitration?
Well, the Bhagliar project went to a neutral expert. 20 years ago almost. And that neutral expert's ruling, many in Pakistan felt, were against Pakistan's interest. Although why that should be so is not very clear. It was almost a kind of instinctive reaction that because the project has been allowed to go ahead, this is against Pakistan's interest. I think the problem is not so much the design of the project or the technological aspects of the project, but it's more an instinctive reaction that any Indian project on the Western rivers is against Pakistan's interest. It's almost a kind of Pavlovian response, which is not in the spirit of the treaty at all.
And if Pakistan doesn't respond to India's request for a review of the treaty, then what will happen actually? I mean, can India withdraw from the treaty? Is that an option?
Well, whether you can withdraw from the treaty which you have yourself become party to, it's a legal question, because it can be then challenged even if you decide to withdraw from it or you give notice that you're withdrawing from it. It's a slightly gray area. There are different views whether you have the right to withdraw from the treaty or not. But I would say the treaty is a pragmatic arrangement which on the whole has worked well. But certainly the fact that it needs to take into account the latest technologies, the growing demands in India for hydroelectric power and the potential for that which exists on the Western rivers without obstructing the water flows to the lower riparian, it requires a certain cooperative attitude from Pakistan and a willingness to work the provisions of the treaty for the treaty to remain sustainable.
What specific modifications you would like to suggest actually in the existing treaty if it is to be made more effective?
I think some provision which would make a specific reference to the utilization of the latest technologies in the design of hydroelectric projects. Because hydroelectric project design is a field which has seen a great deal of technological change and technological advancement over the years, especially since the treaty was signed. And some mechanism or some provision which would allow hydroelectric projects to use these latest technologies, certainly that factor should be included.
Do you think, in fact, Pakistan's approach on this issue is reflective of Pakistan's overall political approach to its relations with India?
To some extent, it reflects an overall negative approach to relations with India. But to some extent, it is also the natural anxiety of a lower riparian. And as I said earlier, we have to be cognizant of the fact that river water sharing issues are very complex. And in our own country itself, we have a great deal of many examples available of how contested and how sensitive river water sharing issues can be. The treaty provides a pragmatic and forward-looking platform to address all these issues, and therefore it has a certain value in the India-Pakistan framework. But certainly, I think a certain change of attitude in Pakistan with regard to working the spirit of the treaty is essential for the treaty to remain relevant.
The World Bank has been a key element of the treaty, actually, in implementation of the treaty. How do you see World Bank's overall role over the last few years?
Well, most people would say that the World Bank should not have invoked both dispute resolution mechanisms simultaneously, because it took the entire treaty into a gray area in which there is no real precedent to serve as a guide. So otherwise, the role of the World Bank has been basically as providing a platform rather than an active role in itself. But the way in which it invoked these two dispute resolution mechanisms simultaneously is something which has really complicated the terrain.
Mr. Raghavan, thank you so much for a detailed perspective about the dispute between India and Pakistan relating to Indus Water Treaty. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on World Bank Neutral Experts' Decision on Indus Waters Treaty. The participants were TCA Raghavan, former ambassador, and Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnstalks@gmail.com. or WhatsApp on 9289094044.